I think that there's something in this, as there is in all the scriptures, but for now, for this time that we're in, there's something in this for us that is very powerful. And it really points to something that God is doing within us at St. Francis, and perhaps you feel it individually. This is a time when we're at home and socially distant and all that, when things are just different. I believe this is a time when one of the things that can happen is that the prayers that we have prayed for years are fermenting in our souls in a certain way. And answers are closer than they were before in the way that things are going. In fact, our lives, I think, are being prepared for the answers that will come, even if some of them are going to be still years from now. Those answers are years from now. But they could be weeks or months from now. Or they could be in a short time and last for a long season. One of those prayers that we've prayed at St. Francis for years, years before Carol and I arrived, is the one that Hetty just led us in a moment ago. Make us instruments of your peace. We have prayed that every week for I don't know how many years, maybe 15, maybe more. Once a week, at least, for that amount of time. This time of being socially distanced is a time when God, I believe, is preparing us for the ways in which we are answers to that prayer. There'll be ways that God is answering that prayer that we have yet to imagine, and we'll be part of that. Now, there's another prayer that we prayed also that I think God is working in us, and we prayed it not as often over the years as make us instruments of your peace, but pretty often, and that's the prayer, open the eyes of my heart, when we would use that song as the Sanctus instead of the traditional Sanctus during the Eucharistic prayer. And God, I think, is also preparing us and forming us for the ongoing answer of what we asked, is that our eyes would be open to see whatever the Spirit of God does at work. So in these days, we're being prepared and formed to see the answers to those prayers come forward. Now, how are those prayers answered? And I'm not going to give you the specific steps because I don't really know them. God can answer them any way he wants. But there's a few things going on. One of them is this. You may have prayers. You have been praying prayers, may have been praying prayers yourself, on which you have given up. And maybe when you've had to stay at home now and things are kind of getting on and you're tired of getting used to the way it is and all of that, you may have think, well, I'm just giving up on some of these prayers. They don't seem to be coming. But Jesus has not given up on those prayers. And you may be in circumstances right now in which you think the prayers you're praying could never be answered. Things are changing so much. How are things ever going to get to be where they are? My prayers can be answered, let alone get back to whatever normal is. And that you may be very tempted to give up on those prayers. But Jesus is not tempted to do that. He does not give up on them. And we see this in the encounter between Jesus and the two on the road to Emmaus. I'm sure that's a very familiar story to most of us, but let me just hit the highlights. Here's the two disciples walking to Emmaus, where they live, from Jerusalem on that first Easter afternoon. Now, that's a 7-mile walk. But they didn't have cars or anything, no Uber or nothing, so they walked. And there they go. And then Jesus shows up with them, as he did now and again after the resurrection. Just showed up. There he is. And he notices that they're despondent. So he asks them, why are you so despondent? And I want you to remember something about questions that Jesus asks. It's not because he doesn't know the answer. It's because when you encounter a question from Jesus, something starts coming up in your own heart and soul. Something that Jesus wants to bring forward. Something that he wants you to see is happening so that he can communicate more to you. Sometimes we call that a kairos moment, and they happen all the time, sometimes even without a question. But if there's a question coming to your mind from the Spirit of God, that's God raising that up so he can say more to you. It reveals the state of your heart. Now, these two get a little testy with Jesus at that question, and they fill him in on what happened with the crucifixion and the resurrection. You know, asking him, you know, are you the only one around here who hasn't seen these things? And then they go along, and the day goes on, and they refer to Jesus then later as a prophet, mighty in word and deed. Now remember that, because there's going to be some development in this encounter, and they're going to go from that to something else, and I'll show it to you. So Jesus begins opening the scripture to them and telling them how all of it is about him. The entire Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, Psalms, Revelation, anything. If it's in the Bible, it is all about Jesus. That's very important too. So they're starting to get that. They're starting to see what's going on. And so it's getting to be dark out. And that's usually when people stopped traveling. So they invite Jesus to their house. And it doesn't say specifically in the scripture, but probably what the case is here is that this is probably a husband and wife, and they're probably headed back home. And their home is probably a center of business of some kind, like many households were in that time. And Jesus is invited in, and he is going to be influencing the entire household, everyone that's involved with that household, blood relatives, children, employees, others who are connected to the business, whatever it may be. So Jesus then sits down at the table with them, and it says they break bread. And what's unusual about this case, although if you think about it, not all that unusual, is that Jesus took the lead. Not Cleopas or the person who's the head of the household. Jesus did. He's the guest. But he takes the lead, breaks the bread, gives thanks, give it to them. He opens their eyes, they recognize him, and then he's gone. Just like that. They look back on how they felt when he opened the Bible to them. You know, didn't our hearts burn within us as he did that? And they ran back the 7 miles to Jerusalem. I mean, this is a pretty big influence on Jesus. I think if I had walked 7 miles that afternoon, I'd have been dozed off on the couch by that time while that happened. But here, they're ready to go. They run back to Jerusalem. And as all this is happening to them, something happened within their own heart and soul. They believed that Jesus is a prophet, mighty in word and deed. And at the moment that they were saying that, they did not see him as Lord and God. Now they did. They see him as their Lord and their God. And Jesus opened their eyes to that. When he opened their eyes to what the Bible is all about, and he opened their hearts to who he actually is, then they ran to tell the others. They became instruments of peace to the other 12. I want you to notice a couple of things. One of them is this, and I've mentioned this to you from time to time, maybe every week for a while now, but let me mention it again. They did not get the right answer before Jesus provided it to them. They didn't have their theology entirely correct. They didn't recognize him right away. They didn't understand that he's Lord and God as well as a prophet, mighty in word and deed. They weren't up to snuff. And he provided for them. None of that counted. He was there to pour into their lives, to show them what the Bible's about, to open their eyes. And that's what happened, because he wanted to do that. And that's the way he is with us. And in that way, they became the instruments of peace to the other 12. And you remember, this is still the Easter day. You remember the 12 are back in Jerusalem. They're hiding in a room, and the door is locked because they're afraid of being arrested and killed for sedition, just like Jesus was. But these two run back to Jerusalem, unafraid anymore, not worried about what's going on. And they, I don't know how they get in. They knocked on the door, and they let him in, and they said, "He's alive. He's risen from the dead." And what happens is they begin, because of what Jesus gave them, they begin creating an atmosphere of peace, of wellness, of wholeness. And they knew Hebrew, so they could have said shalom. That things were changing in the atmosphere around them and in their hearts. And the next thing that happens, you know, if we were to go on in the chapter beyond where we left off today, Jesus comes into the room, and you remember the first thing he said to them, "Peace be with you." And he says it twice. So the ones that he said that he sent, the disciples that he sent, helped to make the atmosphere for what Jesus wants to deliver to be received. Very, very powerful stuff. That's what it is to be an instrument of peace. It is to receive from Jesus, to be sent by Jesus, to go where Jesus wants you to go, and by your presence, in whatever Jesus asks you to do, you are creating the atmosphere for what Jesus wants to be received, to actually be received. It's like cultivating a garden. You're making the soil ready for the seed to be received. And you might recall the parable of the seeds, or the soils rather, you know, where the farmer put seeds, and then some fell on the path, and some on rocky ground, and some on not so good ground, and others on really good ground. So what we're doing as instruments of peace, you might say, is we are helping create the conditions where the hearts around us become good soil for the seed that Jesus wants to plant in their hearts. Now, I want you to notice one other thing about this. There's probably a number of other things, but we'll keep it at one at this moment. And it's this. Jesus planted the seed, not the two from Emmaus. And it's he didn't say to the two, "I want you to run back to Jerusalem. I want you to get those apostles straightened out. Could you do that? They really need some. Could you set it right for them? Okay. Rescue them from their trouble." He didn't say that. He says, "Go and tell them what happened," and that's what created the atmosphere. I mean, you don't have to nod your head yes or agree or anything, but when somebody tells you what's wrong with you, do you receive it joyfully? But when someone's there encouraging you, your friend, they accept you, they receive you, whatever it is, then your heart's a little more ready to receive whatever God might have for you, which could be a very challenging thing. That's the instruments of peace. So what's the parallel to us? Well, we might find that we actually think Jesus is someone who is mighty in word and deed, and then stop at that. And even if you've been a lot of years as a Christian, that can still happen. When you read the Bible, for example, do you see Jesus in what you are reading? Or are you trying to figure out something else? Now, figuring out something else is fine. If you have a workbook, filling out the answers on the workbook, that's good. That's an excellent thing to do. And it's like seeing Jesus as mighty in word and deed. And what the Bible and the Spirit of God is drawing us to do is to see him as Lord and God. And that comes by seeing Jesus in every verse of the Bible. Which is what he did with the two on the road to Emmaus. Showed him how the Bible's all about him. When you pray about what you're reading, do you ask Jesus to show you himself in the story? That would be an excellent step to take. See, especially in the Old Testament, you're reading and say, you know, Jesus, this is one of the weirdest stories I've ever read. Where are you? And I would just wait for the Spirit of God to show that in some way or another. Try it and see what happens. Maybe your heart will be burning in some way as that goes on. And we might not recognize Jesus for who he is, even at that point. So the next step, which we see on the road to Emmaus, is they invited Jesus into their house. And that would be our physical house. It'd be our families, our circle of friends, our other circles of relationships, whatever it is. That's our house, our household. It's inviting him to show up and be present in all of that. And of course, just to be careful, we don't have to invite him to show up because he's already there anyway. And it's just by inviting him in, we're inviting him to open our eyes to his presence, to open the eyes of our hearts. As those two things are going on, when we see Jesus in the Bible and we see Jesus present in every circle of relationships, we then are in the position to become instruments of peace. Just like the two from Emmaus became instruments of peace to the apostles, so we become instruments of peace to others. The result is we carry the peace of God. The environment is cultivated in which God will plant the seeds of life. And it happened with the apostles, and it can happen with us. So here's my challenge for you. What I want to put before you this week is some simple steps. When you read the Bible this week, no matter how much of it is, even if it's just one verse or much more, when you read the Bible, ask if you can see Jesus in it. And then when you think about and pray about and are in the wider house that's yours, ask Jesus to reveal more of himself to you right there. And you could do that forever because there's always more of Jesus. And then see what happens. When you ask for those two things, see what happens. And not only outside of yourself, but within yourself. What happens within you? Like the two from Emmaus said, did not our hearts burn within us? I mean, something's happening. Something's going on with you as part of the answer to those prayers. And you may begin to find that as you have joined in with the prayer over the years, make us instruments of your peace, that your heart starts burning within you. And you see ways for that to happen that you'd never seen before. Or other prayers that you've personally prayed over the years. When you see Jesus answering them, something happens to you and you see things you'd never seen before. And I also believe that as a fellowship, as we go into that, into seeing Jesus in the Bible, into seeing Jesus in our wider house, that we will be instruments of peace in the community surrounding St. Francis. In the groups of people that we normally touch, even the ones we're socially distanced from now but still connected to, somehow we'd be instruments of peace. And what we could be on the lookout for as that happens is the seed God wants to plant in those groups or in those other households. or in those other relationships. So I want to encourage you, and I'll be doing it also. Take those steps. Look for Jesus in the Bible and in your wider house, and then see what happens. Let's pray. Well, Jesus, we thank you for everything that you have done in us and among us and through us. So we do ask for eyes and hearts to see you in every verse of the Bible and to see you in every place of our wider household. All for the glory of your name. Amen. All right, friends. Just thank you for taking that in. And,